Welcome back. Wow, we trust you are getting blessed. When we picked this topic, I thought it to be something very simple and short, not knowing holiness is deeper than what we think. Thank you so much, Sam. May the Lord increase his grace upon you.
Thank you.
But we still have a few questions to ask you. Grace and holiness, because we are in a dispensation of grace. How is grace connected to holiness?
Grace, see, there's a way Titus put it.
Yes, sir.
There's a way Titus put it. Titus chapter 2.
Okay.
Verses 11 and 12.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation.
The grace of God. What's your question again?
How is grace connected to holiness?
To holiness.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live
soberly. Now, before we read this, remember how Apostle Paul told Timothy that thou hast known the Holy Scriptures that is able to make thee
wise unto salvation.
Unto salvation.
2 Timothy 3:15.
Read it, please.
And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
There are scriptures that have no salvation virtue. And there are scriptures that will make thee wise unto salvation. Okay. Now, what is Titus saying?
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation.
Verse 11 and verse 12.
That appeared to all men. Teaching us that.
What? So grace teaches.
Amen.
Teaching us that what?
Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
So, it teaching you to live a holy life. That's what it is saying.
Teaching you to live acceptably.
Acceptably. For without holiness, no one can see God. So, you see, that is why in Romans chapter 6, in fact, let's do some reading there from verse 1. Read it even up to verse 14 if we have the time.
Romans 6 from verse 1.
Yes.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
You see, shall we continue in sin that grace, we say grace, grace, and yet we continue in sin. And then we have to go back to the definition of sin. You know, we have to go back to the definition of sin. I think he mentioned something like that. What
yes,
sin is?
He said traditionally, they say sin is the opposite of holiness.
Okay.
Traditionally.
Yeah, okay.
But that is not, according to him, that is not the opposite of holiness.
But what is it?
So the opposite of holiness in religion is sin. Wrong. The opposite of holiness, watch this, is being common. Like everybody else. Commonness is the opposite of holiness.
Come on, we'll come to that.
Yes, sir.
We will come to that.
Okay.
Yes.
God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Yes.
For if you have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him.
The old nature is crucified. If a man be in Christ, a new creature.
That the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin.
Yes.
For he that is dead is freed
and
from sin.
And every act of unrighteousness is sin. Go ahead.
Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him.
Yes.
Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, died no more. Death hath no more dominion over him.
Yes.
For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth, he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the laws thereof.
Okay, go ahead, finish it.
Neither ye do your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but ye do yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but
now,
under
now
grace.
I want you to note that in this teaching, its emphasis is in outward appearance. You know, but we are saying that Anything that separates you from God is sin. It's sin. So your outward appearance, and what is sin? Sin is disobedience to God, to God's word. That is what sin is all about.
Amen.
You say you are Christian, hey, we are now under grace, grace, grace. There's something Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 2, and verse 25.
Romans 2, 25.
To the Jews.
For circumcision verily profited.
Now, you see now, as far as the covenant that you have with God, Jews, the covenant God had with Abraham and his seed after him was sealed with circumcision, the foreskin of the flesh cut off. That makes you a Jew. But now see what he's saying, verse 25.
For circumcision verily profited.
And now in Christ, circumcision is where?
In the heart.
In the heart. Now, listen now. Go ahead.
For circumcision verily profited, if thou keep the law.
If you will keep the law, Jews, if you will keep the law, that you are circumcised and you are not keeping the law, what is the next statement?
But if thou be a breaker of the law, that circumcision is made uncircumcised.
So you are the same as those who are not circumcised. So also, you say you are partaker of grace, the grace that teaches that you should live a godly life, and you are saying that you are part of grace and you are still living like the world. How has grace profited you? That is the meaning of that statement.
Hallelujah.
You see?
Wow.
Grace gives you a power of transformation. That is what grace gives you. And so if you read the admonishment of Apostle Paul to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 17, for instance. In fact, okay, let's start with the one he told the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. From verse 9 to verse 11. Let's get it.
Okay.
Yes.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Unrighteous. Yeah, begin to name them.
Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters.
Idolaters.
Nor adulterers. Nor effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves to mankind.
That is homosexuals.
Nor thieves. Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. Nor revilers. Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
And now my emphasis is verse 11.
And such are some of you.
Such were some of you.
But
some
ye are of us. Washed.
But when you come to Christ, you are now washed.
But ye are sanctified.
You are now sanctified, made holy.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
When you come to Christ. So, how can you say you are washed and you are still the same way with them in the world? In all your appearance and the way you live your life. You see, that's why you now understand the overcoming power of the accuser of the brethren in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They overcame by the blood
of the Lamb.
And what?
By the word of their testimony.
The life that they live. The life that they live. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. And let's read it up to verse 24, for instance.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord,
yes,
that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ.
If you are in Christ, that is not what you will learn. What do you learn from Christ?
If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Your former lifestyle, you have to put it away. Don't add Jesus to your old life. It cannot work.
Amen.
You cannot put new wine in an old bottle. You don't do that. New wine will have to be in a new bottle. That is why before he puts his spirit, he begins to rearrange you, reconstruct you, convert you. He works on your heart. He gives you a newness of spirit because you cannot put new wine in an old bottle.
Amen.
It is not possible. Finish reading that scripture,
please. Verse 24.
Yes.
And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
And so in Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 3. Read, but keep fornication reading it up to verse 12.
And all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints.
Because that was your former lifestyle.
Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them.
Yes.
For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
Walk as children of light. Your identity. Your identity. And what does it say? For the fruit of the Spirit.
For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness.
All goodness
and truth.
And righteousness and truth.
Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
Yes.
And I have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness.
But
rather reprove them.
Again, verse 11.
And I have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved.
So the scripture is clear. You have to stand out in the way you live your life, the way you do your business, even the way you dress. And let me quickly, which question am I even answering?
Sir? Grace and holiness.
Grace and holiness. Now, there's a scripture you quoted in 1 Peter chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
Apostle Peter was talking to the women. What did he say?
Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives. While they behold your chest conversation,
your lifestyle, the way you live your life, your lifestyle, coupled with fear.
Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the air, and of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart.
What he is saying in verse 3, let's read in verse 3 again.
Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the air, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel.
What he's saying in verse 3 here is that, let your identity, when they see you, let it not be, you should not be known by the way you plait your hair, by the gold you put on yourself, by the type of cloth you put on you. But what verse 4?
But let it be the hidden man of
the
heart.
This is the identity of a Christian. Let it be the hidden man of the heart.
In that which is not corrupted, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price.
So this is clear. He was using it to say, if you say you should not wear gold, you should not wear this, means you should not wear cloth. That is a wrong interpretation of what Apostle Peter was talking there. Christians are taught by Apostle Paul, he said we should, about moderation.
Yes, sir.
We should be moderate in everything we do. We should be moderate. We should not do things to catch attention. Because we are supposed to portray humility. Like Christ, he was humble. And our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Humility. Humility. We are not to show off vainglory. We are not to announce ourselves. Even the perfume you put on, should not put it in a way that once you enter a place, everybody will say, you know, you should be just enough for you, to look fresh and smell good, but not to cause attraction. Neither are you supposed to wear, don't put on anything that will cause any special attention to you. That is what Apostle Peter is teaching us.
Wow. Thank you so much, sir. So grace teaches us how to walk acceptably with God.
Exactly.
And gives us the enablement to...
That is the meaning of grace.
Yes, sir.
It's the spirit in you now leading you to live a life pleasing before God.
You've answered most of my questions, sir, but I still have a few more.
Yes.
Because we know that we have two major dispensations. We have the law and we have grace. So I want to know, are there different holiness for these different dispensations?
No, holiness is holiness before God.
For instance, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It was under the law.
Now, I want you to note that when it comes to righteousness, now you will discover Apostle Paul was mentioning something in Romans chapter 10. Let's read it about the zeal of the Jews.
Romans 10.
From verse 1.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
Yes.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
So, and that is talking about the righteousness of the law.
Mm.
Then he now added in verse 4.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
Christ is the end. The reason is because Christ came to fulfill that law.
Amen.
Including the law of Sabbath.
Mm.
Now, there is the law of appearance, self-appearance before God. And there is the ordinances, the law of ordinances.
Mm.
All those ordinances you see there, we are fulfilled in Christ.
Mm.
Mention any ordinance you know of, and I will tell you how Christ fulfilled it.
Mm.
Every ordinance.
Okay, I've mentioned the Sabbath day.
The Sabbath day is rest, which is the Holy Ghost, rest from struggle.
Okay.
And the ones who receive, you say, come to me and I will give you rest.
Amen.
You know, and so now your rest is in Christ, not in a day.
Mm.
There is no day now set aside
as a holy day. Mm.
But you now, because the Holy God is not dwelling in you every day, it's a day you set aside with God.
Mm.
Now, Sunday is not a holy day.
Mm.
It's only a holiday.
Amen.
I hope you know holiday is different from a holy day.
Certainly.
A day, and then people take advantage of that and worship their God.
Mm.
And so, and if they decide to give holiday to for Christians to worship their God, just like they also give a holiday to certain celebrations of the Muslims in secular states, you know, like Nigeria. So also when it comes to
are there different holiness for different dispensations?
Now when it comes to appearance before the Lord, I am the Lord, I change it not. You cannot come to him before God without sanctifying yourself, without cleansing yourself. Whether it is in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, it is still the same. It is to enable us come acceptably before him that he gave us the Holy Ghost. The difference is that it is made easier under grace than under the law, because the enabling power is now in you. Unlike where you struggle with, you have to even put the patches on your shoulder, put it in your pocket, hang them on your door to know how what to do to be acceptable before God.
Mm.
But now, by the Spirit that is in you, you know what is clean and what is unclean.
Mm.
And then that is the beauty of grace.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay, sir. One more or a few more questions. Okay, it says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He didn't actually say for holiness.
Yes.
So I agree with what you just said.
Yes.
But I want to know the relationship between righteousness and holiness.
Righteousness, listen, holiness is about relationship with God, your daily relationship.
Okay.
Now, righteousness is about obedience to specific instructions of God at a particular time.
Hmm.
Now, let me give you an example.
Okay.
Abraham was told to move away to a city that God will show him. When he left his people, he obeyed.
Yes, sir.
It was counted to, he believed God. He believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Noah was referred to as righteous before God. Lot was referred to as righteous Lot. What makes them righteous is that there was a commandment that God gave them to do at a particular time for a particular purpose. And they obeyed and they followed it. That action is called righteousness. Take, for instance, Abraham. He moved. That movement, he became righteous because he obeyed God, not even knowing where he was going, but since God spoke it, he was following God.
Mm.
Now, that is, but now, when God came to visit him, and then he will kill an animal, he will do, that is now a relationship with God. Now, you will see something here. In Genesis chapter, I think chapter 15, the commentary concerning chapter 18, verse 17 and verse 18.
Okay.
And verse 19.
And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?
Uh-huh.
Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation.
Yes.
And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.
Now, for I know him. 19, yes.
That he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment.
That is holiness. Keeping the way of the Lord. Living a life pleasing before him. That was why he was always attracting God to visit him.
Okay.
So the life you live, the relationship you have with God is determined by your state of holiness.
Okay. I don't know. Not that I'm trying to say which is more important, but which comes first? Righteousness or holiness?
Now, of course, it says without the holiness,
you can't see the Lord.
You can't see the Lord. So, first and foremost, you will discover that circumcision first, then you keep the law for a relationship with God.
Amen.
So, and if you don't receive the spirit of holiness in you, holiness is all encompassing. When you say which one comes before which, they all move together.
Righteousness and holiness.
They go together. They go together because it's the same spirit. They go together.
So can you be holy and unrighteous?
No.
And you cannot be righteous and unholy.
No, they go together.
They go together.
Yeah,
okay.
Because if you're able to be holy, now listen, when I say it goes together, because there is serving God, like Apostle Paul put it in Romans chapter 10.
Yes, sir.
Where he says they have a zeal.
Okay. For I bear them record, verse 2. That they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
Now, what do you say? According to knowledge. Because here you are, you may not be fornicating. You may not be stealing. You're not in adultery. You're not lying. You want to remain holy
to please God.
To please, live a life pleasing before God. But when God moves, that is righteousness. Mm. And you are not able to move with him, that holiness will no longer be acceptable before God.
Okay.
Because he has left you. Mm. That is why I made a statement. I said, you may be holy and not be righteous.
Okay.
It's just like saying, you may even be operating the gift of the Holy Spirit
and not be born again.
And so also, that you are supposed to be both holy and righteous. And you can also be claiming that you are righteous, you are following, you have moved. The message of the hour, we have heard the message of the hour, the end time message. But if you have truly heard it, then you must also be holy. That is grace.
Amen.
Grace teaches.
Amen.
So, you know, we have to place them like that. Yes, you can have one without the other, but it is supposed to go together. That's what I'm saying.
Two sides of a coin.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Okay, thank you so much, sir. Thank you for that. But according to Pastor Creflo Dollar, he says the opposite of holiness is being common, being like everybody else. For example, when a non-believer is depressed and you are depressed, then you are like them.
The opposite of holiness, watch this, is being common like everybody else. Commonness is the opposite of holiness. Watch carefully now. To be common, that means that you're sharing alike. To be common means you in the church, just like them who ain't in the church. That's the opposite of holiness. The opposite of holiness is when they sick, you sick. They depressed, you depressed. They broke, you broke. You just like them. That's the opposite of holiness, to be common. So tell me, why would somebody want to come to church and hang around people just like them? And then you try to seduce them to get saved, and they can't see the advantage.
Why do I need to get Jesus when you and me just alike? Except you believe in Jesus and I don't. We common. You just proclaim Jesus and I don't. But when I'm depressed, you depressed. When I'm worried, you worried. When I'm fighting, you have the same fight. I lost, you lost.
When an unbeliever is broke and you are broke, then you're like them.
You know, there's something funny about these preachers. You know, there is what the Bible calls doing the work of the Lord deceitfully. Mm. These people, just like the other preacher that was talking about, saying there is nothing like family deliverance, hereditary, what do you call it?
Generational curse.
Generational curse. And at the end of his sermon, God caused him, you know, God caused him to be binding and losing, to let any discerning person know that this man doesn't know what he's saying. Mm. In the same thing with Kefodola, did you notice? He said, what? How did he put it?
Being common.
What's the opposite of holiness?
Sin.
Wrong. Wrong. The opposite of holiness, watch this, is being common like everybody else. Commonness is the opposite of holiness.
He said the opposite of holiness is not sin.
Yes.
But what?
To be common, to be like every other person.
To be common. And that is that not what Apostle James said? That is fornication? Mm. Why will a Christian be common and live a life when the Bible says evil communication corrupt good manners? The Bible tells us, come out of her, my people. When Christ himself in Matthew 11 said, come to me. You are coming from somewhere. You are living somewhere. It's a life of total transformation. Now, when he said the opposite of holiness, you know, is being common to him, because all they know is how to make money. All they teach is faith, faith to receive, faith to acquire. So he's now telling you that if you, the opposite of holiness is, you know, to him, you are, when you yoke yourself, you are behaving like the unbelievers. They are complaining, you are complaining.
They are depressed, you are depressed.
They are depressed, you are depressed.
They are broke and you are
they are broke, you too, you are broke. They are complaining about the economy, you are complaining.
His holiness is to stand out.
They are to stand out. to them, standing out there is, it should be confessing what the Bible says. Don't say what the world is saying. Hmm. To him, that is what it's, so you see, he was mumbling it up. But the truth is that holiness is that you should not be, you should be uncommon. Mm. Holiness is being uncommon. Mm. And the opposite of uncommon is common. Mm. So if you are going to be identified to be worldly, it is sin.
Common.
You are common with the whole world. We are to stand out. That's why we are ambassadors. Mm. That's why we are priests. That's why we are chosen people. We are peculiar people. We are chosen generation. Mm. We are not common.
Amen.
For we are in this world, but amen, not this of world. This world. And so in that direction, he is correct. But he was deceitfully and willingly applying it to achieve what he wants to achieve. And for a man to say that your appearance doesn't matter, that tells you another serpent is speaking.
Wow. So, sir, my final question, sir, is from Matthew 23, verse 25 and 26, where our Lord Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess.
Within, yes?
Yes. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Uh-huh. Okay, the Lord has even answered me. I was going to ask you, though, because this emphasis on God looks at the inside.
Read it again. What did he say that last verse you read?
That, verse 26, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also.
So once inside is clean, outside will be clean.
Amen. So God looks at both inside.
So it
and
is
outside.
What is inside that reflects outside.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen.
And that is why the work is always is done. If you read it from verse 24 of Ezekiel chapter 36, where the work of conversion is from inside. It is a work that is inside. For it is out of the abundance of the heart
that you do
that
everything.
You do whatever you do. You know, so
what is on the inside reflects
that
outside.
Is what reflects outside. If you're a prostitute, you're first a prostitute inside, in the heart first, then you now dress outwardly to show who you really are. The real you is your spirit man inside. And that is why
Matthew 15:18.
Yes.
It says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man.
Thank you.
For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man.
It is from the heart. So I don't know how they do
it. So whatever we see outside is reflecting what is
and,
inside.
And we too, we must not put man-made holiness. Where you now, William Brown call it sticking the fetters. Where you act holiness. You appear holiness. But inside of you is dead people's bones. That's what Christ was saying.
Yes, sir.
They appear like holy people, but they are the same people that were looking for Jesus to kill them. So that is what he's saying. That there are that you are dressing like a holy person is supposed to be evidence that you are holy. But if inside of you you are still stomaching and all those hatred, murder, gossip.
Anger.
And then you're secretly committing fornication, but on Sunday you bath and dress like holy people and go to a holy living, holy church. You are not holy. You know you are not holy before God. For God knows who is who.
Amen. God bless you. Checks the outside and inside. Yes. Thank you so much.
Without holiness,
no man shall see the
no
Lord.
No man shall see the Lord. What it means is, without holiness, no relationship with God. God bless you.
Without holiness.
And that and no relationship. And that is why Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2 comes in.
Isaiah 59 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
It separates you from God.
And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear.
The same thing in Zechariah chapter 3.
Zechariah the high priest.
Joshua the high priest.
Joshua the high priest, yes, sir. And he showed me Joshua the
high priest,
standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee.
Yes.
Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment.
You see? You have a change of raiment. You cannot dress in filthy rag and then expect God to use you. You can't. You know, you can't. And you know, the Bible says we are a chosen generation, a peculiar people.
Yes, sir.
And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 15, see the way Apostle Paul put it. I think
we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen
generation. We are chosen to what?
To salvation.
To salvation.
Through sanctification of the Spirit.
Sanctification, cleaning up of the Spirit.
And belief of the truth.
And the belief of the truth.
Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
So, be you holy, for the Lord your God is holy.
Thank you so much, sir. You've done justice to my entire questions. Lord
bless
you.
Stop listening to these motivational speakers. In fact, a sister from America, Sister Ladi, sent a message to me, said, Crawford Daniel is a psychologist. So you can see he's teaching psychology. And there are these motivational speakers. They have no business. They know nothing about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know it. They don't even understand what it means to carry the cross. Now, they will not understand verse 45. I'm sorry, you want to close. You see, these things keep coming, you know, verse 45 of Matthew 13.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls.
Yes.
Who, when he had found one pearl of great price.
What?
Who, when he had found one pearl of great price.
There is a price to pay. But it is a pearl.
Went and sold all that he had and bought it.
And he said, there's a price to pay. And that is, this is John Wesley that fulfilled this with the doctrine of holiness.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
And please remember that there is a law, the principle of opportunity cost in economics.
Amen.
Now, what is that law? Is that you have two things.
Forgone alternative. Amen.
You have two things.
Hallelujah.
That you want. But you cannot have the two. For you to have one, one has to go. To be able to hold one. You cannot hold the two. You cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. We are in the world, but cannot be in the world. Now, if you are going to hold on to the world, then you have to drop Christ and drop holiness. But if you are going to hold Christ, then you have to drop the world and worldliness. So, the foregone
alternative
becomes the price.
Amen.
For possessing this.
Gospel according to economics.
The wages of sin is what?
Death.
And the gift of God is what?
Eternal life.
Choose death or life.
Hallelujah.
So I decided to drop the world to hold onto Christ.
Hallelujah.
Eternal life.
Amen.
And it goes with a price. It goes with the holiness.
Amen.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much. If we remain here, the pastor will continue to bring us scriptures. To prove to us that holiness is still relevant and there's the right holiness, not according to what Creflo Dollar has said. We thank God for giving us this privilege and this grace to see his light in our generation. A big thank you to all sponsors of Bright TV. I always say you can see that your seed is not being wasted. I believe a big crown of glory awaits you when we get to Glory Land. Thank you. And if you are just coming across the Bright TV, please keep watching the Bright TV. The Lord brought you away for a very, very specific purpose. And that is to perfect you for his coming. So don't stop watching us. The Lord bless you. Till we meet again, stay rapturable. Shalom.